Gracious God, giver of all good things, open our eyes that we might see your wonders in creation. Give us courage to respond with compassion. Amen. So the irony is not lost on me that I got these readings this week. Sell your possessions and give alms. You probably would have liked that, Bill. There would have been less to pack. I have spent the last 2 weeks unpacking boxes of my stuff. I mean, boxes and boxes of my stuff. But fortunately, the new house has a lot of closet space to hold stuff. And my bedroom closet is no exception. It even has one whole side with those little double holes in it so you can move the pegs around and change the shelves. You can change the height of the shelves. You can get more shelves in if you, you know, kind of move them around and squish them down, which is good because with careful manipulation, I can get all of my shoes in that closet, which is a bit excessive, I understand, but it's essential. So where your treasure is, there your heart is also. So I guess what I'm confessing to you is that my heart is in my shoes. And I'm not selling them, even if the money goes to Stew Pot. But in defense, the right pair of shoes can change your life, according to Cinderella. And she may be onto something. Jesus says, dress for action. And I translate that, choose your shoes wisely. You don't want to end up like that girl in the horror movie who's running down from the monster in heels, looking like a fool. But nor is this a time for bedroom slippers. For Jesus is not advocating running in terror or a passive waiting game to see what will happen when he returns. He is urging immediate action. And knowing when to step up and when to step out is at the heart of this passage. Now is the time to prepare, so choose your shoes wisely. But here's where it becomes complicated and where we trip over our own feet. If the owner of the house had known at what time the thief was coming, he would not have let his house get broken into. Now, there's a metaphor we can grasp onto because we know about security, or at least we know about striving for security. We know about protecting ourselves, about shoring up the breach, ridding weaknesses, building walls and fences and cages, we run for this one. Fear, as well as money, is a strong motivator. And it makes us do some crazy things in our attempt to stay safe. We tie ourselves up in fear, like lacing up a pair of combat boots, and we lose perspective. I mean, think of the ugly rhetoric we have heard, we have used in response to our fear of difference, our fear of losing something we think we deserve, our irrational fear of whomever we label as the thief in the night. The thief is that guy, you know, the one that acts really strange and it makes you nervous or uncomfortable. The thief is that woman whose opinion makes your blood boil. The thief is the other. Whomever that other is, we never call them us, they're always them, but that other whose shoes we have never walked in whose skin we have never lived, so we really know nothing about them beyond our own fearful imaginings. That other who may not, turns out, be a thief at all, outside of our label. Which is why Jesus begins by saying, do not be afraid. Do not fear. Be alert. Be ready. Pay attention, but do not be afraid. Because fear is debilitating. Fear is exclusive. Fear is drawing lines in the sand and clutching tightly to what is ours for fear of losing it. Fear is sharp and piercing like a pair of stilettos. Fear separates us from one another. Fear clouds our judgment and strips us of the hospitality and the generosity and the gratitude, all those things that come with the kingdom of heaven, which Jesus is trying to give us. We don't have to wait for it. We don't have to earn it. We don't even have to convince someone we deserve it, which we don't. because it is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. That's an unqualified promise from God. It's a decision that's already been made for us. Jesus tells us our job is to look for it, to allow it, to be ready to receive it. For you never know when Jesus is going to appear, and when he does, things get turned upside down. The servants are dressed for action in their dance-go restaurant clogs when the master shows up, and then he has them sit down for a feast. It is God's good pleasure to give. The ones who had already gone to bed and locked the door, they missed out. But the ones who are alert, looking for another person, another opportunity to serve, those were the ones who received. For they have learned to be open, to be engaged, to be alert. When you step out of yourself to give to another, you receive far more, like serving breakfast to strangers, reading to children, or just being present in someone else's grief, and you realize your burdens have lifted. It doesn't happen if we stay at a safe distance from one another. You have to lean in, open up, be on the lookout for it. For faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. See, it's not always obvious. You got to look for it. You got to be anticipating it, willing it with your whole heart. Assurance and conviction are strong words that speak to our deep longing. Longing for safety in connection and belonging. And faith is how we grasp that assurance. Where you focus, where you put your energy, where you store your gifts and your treasures, there your heart is also. Now, heart here is not a sentimental thing like a pair of prom shoes, but a steadfast willingness at the very center of our being, our chosen way of being. Heart, the way Jesus envisioned it, takes training, because what Jesus is calling for contradicts our self-preservation strategy. He doesn't want us to just exist. He wants us to live and live abundantly. What Jesus is talking about builds up community. It's how people are cared for. It's what unifies. But when that begins to erode is when self-care becomes selfish, where keeping becomes hoarding and another becomes the other and somehow a threat. So we need to shift our focus to lean in enough to learn, to open up enough to feel, to get curious. I mean, do you ever wonder why someone behaves the way they do? Especially that person that irritates you or scares you. How did they come to behave that way? Now, I'm not saying that excuses all behavior, but it certainly does help soften our response. For discipleship is a life focused on faith, not fear. Connection, not protection. Hospitality, not hostility. The heart allows us to see past what is the politically expedient thing for the compassionate thing. The heart allows us to give someone room to make mistakes and still learn, to hurt and still forgive. And the heart allows us to be who we are now while still propelling us on to our better selves and giving us courage to grow. For it is the heart that calls us, that propels us, that allows us to step out and step forward, to put our best foot forward, preferably in a cute pair of shoes.